This morning's responsive read came from the book of Proverbs 23. So if you would like to follow along with an open Bible, please get your Bible and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, verses 12 to 25. Verses 12 to 25. Ironically, when we just got done in our congregation reading this responsively, it is quite evident that the portion that I chose here to read has only one context, one central theme. And it's almost as if that as Solomon was writing this, and knowing that as we begin in chapters 1, 2, and 3, if you can remember, back then Solomon is dealing with speaking primarily to his older boy, who would eventually become the next king of Israel, and that was Rehoboam. And you read about this after Solomon's passing. But then there are times when in the first 10 chapters, Solomon seems to be talking to all of his children at the same time, giving the same wisdom and counsel. And it seems that as we've gone through up until chapter 23, just in case Solomon's son has kind of wandered off in kind of a daydreaming mode, like some children, he seems to kind of hit the pause button, and then he hits rewind. And then he hits play again. Because we come across verbiage, we come across words that Solomon has already covered with his son, Rehoboam, in the earlier chapters of the book of Proverbs. So let's consider. How about we pick up in verse 15? My son, if thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. So notice how Solomon tries to tell his boy that if his boy is a wise man, that will bring such joy, not only to him, but also by implication, I believe his mom as well. So yes, I believe children do have a sense of duty to bring some sense of joy and satisfaction to their parents. Parents invest so much time, so much energy, so much resources in raising children for at least 18 years or so. The parents should have some type of expectation at the end, and that is a little bit of joy, a little bit of satisfaction that all is well with Johnny or with Susie. Verse 16, yea, my reign shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. So in this case here, Solomon here is wanting to see his boy know how to speak properly, especially as a future king, to speak before his subjects, speak before ambassadors that will stand in front of him who are representing other kingdoms and other nations, being able to speak with wisdom over his people and to speak in such a way that would benefit his realm and not become a detriment. Verse 17, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. So the next thing that he reminds his boy is, do not become envious of the wrong crowd. Yes, they may seem to have numbers, they seem to have power, they seem to get their way, they seem to be bullish, they seem to cause people to respect them more out of fear and intimidation than out of love. And so he warns his son, don't be jealous and don't envy the wrong crowd. But then he tells him in verse 17 with the word, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And again, that goes all the way back to chapter 1, right? Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So once again, Solomon is advising his son to always place the fear of the Lord, notice, in opposition to the fear of men, the wrong crowd. Verse 18, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. So if you have a certain goal in your life, you have a certain calling within your life, a God-given calling that is out there to benefit the whole and not just the individual, there's going to be an expected end. And so here Solomon is trying to caution his son to be careful how you live now, because there's going to be an expected end with your life. There's going to be some type of blessing or cursing placed upon you in the memory of others. You're either going to be looked upon as a villain, or you're going to be looked upon as a good guy, if you will. Verse 19, "Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way." Notice, in the way. And when you come to the New Testament, ironically, Christianity in that apostolic era was not called Roman Catholic. It wasn't called Baptist or Methodist or Congregational or Lutheran or Presbyterian. It was called the way. The way. Verse 20, "Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh." And so this harkens back, I believe, back to verse 17. Don't be envious of those in the drinking crowd, and don't be envious of those who seem to wine and dine, just like the rich young ruler in Jesus' story. The rich young ruler there in Lazarus, one fared sumptuously day by day, the other simply waited for a few drops of crumbs from the rich man's table. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh. Verse 21, "For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags." Notice in verse 21, as we saw in verse 18, notice the expectation of these individuals. Back in verse 18, "For surely there is an end," yes, "and thine expectation shall not be cut off." Notice these individuals, they do get cut off, all based on how they governed their lives. And then we find these closing urgents, to me, this urgent admonishment. "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." In many cultures today, the children looking out and caring for elderly parents has been mainly relegated to the nursing home or to the hospice. Now, there are times and seasons, because of certain circumstances, maybe the extended family doesn't have the medical know-how to treat an aging parent. I understand that. But if the parent is somewhat functional and chooses to live at home, and there are siblings within that extended family, don't you think at least those siblings can do something, knowing that their parents gave 18 years of their life to raise that child? At least at the end of these parents' lives, the siblings can come and basically corral themselves around their parents and minister to their basic needs, if it's possible, without too much medical treatment, or if the person's incapacitated and needs medical care, well, that's one thing. But if the elderly parent can still get around, even with a walker, and content to be home, do what you can. That's the least we can do. Verse 23 is a verse, I remember a sermon way back, at least 40-some years ago, from a missionary. "Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding." Beloved, when you finally get the truth, and the truth can only be contained between Genesis and Revelation, when you finally understand to some degree that truth, you hang on to it and you don't sell it. You prize it, you cherish it, and you hide it within your heart. "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth the wise child shall have joy of him." So notice, at the end of the parents' expectation, they want to be able to look back and see their children, whether it's one child or whether it was a multitude of children, doing well, living right, serving God, etc. "Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." So it starts off with the father admonishing the son what he's to do, who to be careful of. Don't be envious, don't be jealous, don't hang around with the wrong crowd. And notice that in the end, your mom and dad may be able to look back at you and then rejoice of how you turned out in the end. And so I think this particular portion here of Proverbs is a father's words to his son. Almost a repeating of what the past 22 chapters we've been plowing through. It's as if Solomon stops like that roadside view where you kind of wander off the view and look at the vista, look at the view of the mountains or whatever. Solomon takes his son for a little roadside stop and reminds him what his father's been giving to him in all these chapters. Well, may God choose to bless his word.